Psalm chapter number 82 tonight. Psalm chapter 82. Look at this next chapter in the book of Psalms. While you're turning there, Luke chapter 12. You don't have to turn to Luke, but in Luke chapter 12 and in verse number 48, a familiar verse. End of the verse goes like this. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. I've taken that verse in Luke and made that our kind of our title for Psalm chapter 82. To whom much is given, much will be required. And that's what this chapter is all about. Psalm chapter 82, in verse number 1, says, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, he judgeth among the gods. How long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Selah. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. They know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. It's a shorter chapter, Psalm chapter 82. Again, we see the author is Asaph. It's pretty much all the heading we're giving over this chapter, but the author is Asaph. This psalm, of course, follows his other psalms that have been talking about, in summary, the fact that Israel sinned, Israel rebelled against God. Because of their sin, God allowed Asaph to have a vision. He was a seer. I got to see the fact that Jerusalem would be destroyed because of Israel's sin. The temple would be burnt down, torn to pieces. And, of course, Asaph lamented that. It broke his heart to see that. He wrote about that in many of his psalms. And then in Psalm chapter 81 that we looked at last week, of course, in studying that was the fact that, in the end, God will restore Israel. And he was encouraged. And of course, we know that to be true as well. Psalm chapter 82 goes right along with this. And so he's kind of seen, I don't know about you, I've enjoyed studying the Psalms and getting just all these things behind it. When you go back and read it, my goal, is, of course, as a pastor, is that, go back in days ahead and read through the Psalms and, it's all there. And it's open up and be able to get even more. But Asaph, of course, Israel sinned. Israel deserved the punishment. It still broke his heart to see what had happened. But he rejoiced in Psalm 81 in the fact that Israel would be restored. God would see that Israel would be that like that olive and would bud again and bring forth fruit again. We know that will happen in the millennial reign. But now he kind of switches directions a little bit more in this psalm that the Holy Spirit gave him. And that, yes, Israel fell. Yes, there's judgment. And yes, they will be restored. But now he looks at the judges. The people who were in Israel that God had appointed, the leadership in Israel, who God had left there to keep the wrong in check. Just like we have leaders today and judges today, judges are there to uphold the law. Our justice system is represented by a lady blindfolded holding balances, with no regard to who they are and rich or poor, as long as things are right. And that's a symbol of our justice system. And we do have, in my opinion, in the world today, one of the greatest justice systems in the world today. I know there's a lot of problems, and we could talk about them all night, but get out of the country and you'll see how worse it is. Right? Now, we are blessed to be where we are. But here in this psalm, our judges and our rulers have been appointed by God. In Romans chapter 13, the powers that be are ordained of God. And one of their responsibilities that they have that we expect our judges and political leaders to do is to keep wrong in check. Not that they have the same definition of sin as we do, but people aren't allowed to, walk onto our property and steal our stuff and walk away. There's laws against that. And if someone does that, the judge, we expect them to uphold the law. And what had happened, which we see a lot in this country happening, the reason why Israel was punished in the first place is because sin started running rampant. People doing wrong got accepted as being normal. and the leadership and the rulers would not take a stand against it. They were taking bribes. And we can study this in other passages of Scripture, in Isaiah, way back when the Lord instituted the judges. And we'll look at it in a little bit there in Exodus and Deuteronomy, that he said, do not take bribes. Do not judge in favor of according to who the person is just because they have money or offer some gift. Don't do that. We know that Samuel's sons, one of the problems with them is that they were taking gifts and they were taking bribes and they were not being just and fair. And that was a problem in Israel. And that led to Israel being destroyed because people weren't taking the stand. And that's what the psalm is about. Asaph says, all right, now, judges, you were given that authority by God. You were given that position by God. You had the power to do something and you didn't. You had been given much and a lot's going to be required because now they stand before God. Now they're going to have to give an account. They had taken the law of God that they were supposed to represent. They had either ignored it or perverted it. And now they stood before a holy, just God. Look at it real quick. Just a few verses, but a lot in here. Number one, you have a supreme court, I outlined it as, in verse number one, the highest of all courts. In verse number one, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, he judgeth among the gods. It's a little G there, and I'll get to that in a second. First of all, you see the Lord's position. The Lord is standing there, God stands there in verse number one, he stands in the congregation of the mighty. Those, the mighty there, is those who he has entrusted with the law. And with the word of God, they, the mighty, those who God had entrusted with this, are now the ones being judged. And they stand before not just God, but he is a judge, not just a judge. He's the lawgiver. And they stand before him now and going to give an account. They are going to stand God now. They don't sit on the bench no longer. Now they're standing before God. So God is in the congregation of the mighty. The mighty represents all these rulers and leadership who had perverted or ignored God's law and allowed sin to run rampant. So the Lord's position, he's the judge. Also in verse number one, you have the Lord's purpose. What's he doing? He judgeth among the gods. The supreme court of the universe has been called. It's convened. They are going to stand before the Almighty God now. He is judging there. He judgeth among the gods. Little g. That's not talking about false gods like Baal and things like that. He's referring to those judges. You say, why are they referred to as gods in this verse? Why are they referred to, you know, why is that applied? I could take it all the way back to Genesis in the very first. You remember when Adam sinned? When he sinned, him and Eve, he knew the reality of the difference between right and wrong. He had that knowledge now, right? He understood the difference between good and evil. After the fall. Everybody follow me? I feel like everybody's... All right, got you back, all right? He knew the difference here. And remember what God said. The Trinity was speaking to each other, and God said he hath become as one of us, as gods. What is that? To know the difference between right and wrong. In other words, God had set them up in a very high position to represent him here on this earth. As an administrator of the law, as an upholder of the law. Turn back. Keep your finger here. I got to show you these things. In Exodus chapter number 18. In Exodus chapter 18. Look at these things real quick with me tonight. In Exodus chapter number 18. And in verse number 13. In Exodus 18, this is whenever Moses was doing that and fulfilling that position. And he was a judge amongst all the people of Israel. And it was an overwhelming job with the millions of people that were there. And in Exodus chapter 18, starting in verse 13, it came to pass, 18:13, on the morrow that Moses sat to judge the people. And the people stood by Moses from the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto even? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. So the role, the position of being this judge in Israel, Moses first fulfilled by himself. Now we know that God allowed others to help him out soon afterwards. But what was this purpose in being a judge? His purpose was when they came to him, they were inquiring not of Moses what to do. They were inquiring of who? God. They were inquiring of God. And Moses would then, in giving his judgment there in verse number 16, was making known the statutes of who? Of God, and whose laws? God's laws. That is the role of the judge. Now, in a perfect world, that's the role of our judges. But we know that don't happen a lot, right? But that's what a judge is for. Our judges in our country, what they're supposed to do is be a representative of the laws that we have made, and that they enforce those things. And when people go, they are seeing the judge, and he knows the laws and is supposed to dictate and rule accordingly. Well, in this time, they went to their judges, who were men who God had appointed. And when they went, they were not inquiring of the men so much as they were, what does God think of this? And what does the statutes of God say about this? Turn to Deuteronomy chapter number 16. Now there's some that are helping out. And this, because as you can imagine, it was a great responsibility to judge all these millions of people in Israel. In Deuteronomy chapter 16 and in verse number 18. God is describing the offices of being a judge. In chapter 16 and verse number 18 of Deuteronomy, it says, "Judges and officers shalt thou make thee in all the gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee throughout thy tribes, and they shall judge the people with just judgment. Thou shalt not wrest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons. Neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous." They gave instructions there. Verse 20, "That which is altogether just shalt thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." What was their job as a judge? Their job was to represent God and to give the statutes of the Lord and the law of God, and to give wisdom of what thus saith the Lord. Now, so they are a representative of God. And so that's why he says back in Psalm 82 and that he judgeth among the gods. They are his representatives, a little g. I'll give you one more verse and we'll get back to Psalm. Turn to John chapter number 10. In John chapter number 10. Not that these verses make all the difference in the world. I'm just trying to so we'll understand what is being talked about and why it's so important that these men did what was right. In John chapter 10. John chapter 10, Jesus is speaking, and the Jews were there. Pharisees were all around him, and they wanted to stone Christ because he claimed to be God. That was the ultimate blasphemy, they thought, and they wanted to pick up stones and stone him. In verse number 34, we'll pick up just a few verses. Verse 34, Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law? I said, ye are what?" Now, he's quoting the psalm that we just read. In Psalm chapter 82. And he looks at these Jews and all their knowledge of things of the Word of God and said, and he quotes, "Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods. If ye called them gods unto whom the Word of God came and the Scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest because I said, I am the Son of God." Now basically, now we can go back to Psalm 82, but they're accusing him, and they're going to stone him. Oh, the ultimate blasphemy. You said that you are a son of God. He quotes Psalm chapter 82, and it says, doesn't say in your law. What you know and what you know to be true, that you are gods. Little g. In other words, you are, and again, we can look at, we skip ahead a little bit in Psalm 82 and verse number 6. "I have said ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High." So he basically looked at them and said, "Yes, I'm a son of God. So are you." Put his head to him. And his defense was Psalm chapter 82. And they couldn't stone him because they didn't have an answer for that. He used the word right against them. And they looked at him. But also the point he was saying is this. He was sent from God, the Father, to represent him and his words and his statutes. As those leaders in the Jewish world who he's speaking to were also that. Judges were that. They were a representative of God. So when he says, back in verse number 1, to give you all this background just so we can start moving, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He is going to judge these judges who are supposed to represent Him, supposed to represent His law, but they were not doing that. They had perverted God's law. They had perverted what was right, and now they were going to be judged for their evil deeds. And He says, He judgeth among the gods. He's there looking at these so-called, quote unquote, representatives of God, that what they were supposed to do, and now they were going to be judged. So you have the Supreme Court, and that the Lord's position and the Lord's purpose of what He's going to do. Secondly, in verse number 2, you have a serious complaint. Here's what the Lord says, His accusation, if you will. How long will you judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Now, accept the persons of the wicked basically means this: they were accepting those bribes. They were looking at the person. They were influential on their decisions. And the Lord, and Selah is written there. We have to picture a courtroom, okay? Y'all follow me? All right? The courtroom, let's say, just for illustration because it's easier done this way, all right? Let's say I'm standing in the place of God. You are all the judges. And that now, You were sons of God, you were representatives of the law, of what is right, but you didn't do it, you perverted it, and evil ran rampant, and because of that, Israel had to be destroyed, and a lot of that fell upon you, because to whom much is given, much is required. You were guardians and enforcers, administrators of that law. And now you stand before God, and God says, here's the accusation, how long were you going to do this? How long were you going to judge unjustly? How long were you going to take the bribes? How long were you going to be unjust in your rulings? And in the word Selah, it's that stare. Stop and think about it. You know, a few people, they really communicate effectively in that way. In drama, it's called a dramatic pause when you stop to let the moment settle in. Brother Harris, when he preaches, he does that all the time. You know, he'll say his thing and stop and like stare at you. And you're like, oh no, you know, what's he doing, right? You know, that letting a moment sink in. That's what he does here. He basically has a very serious complaint. He gives two things of what he says to them. Number one, it was a continual injustice. How long are you going to do this? And then secondly, it was a criminal injustice also in verse number 2. They were supposed to fight against wickedness, but instead, they were voting in favor of it. They were supposed to be a line of defense against evil ruling, but instead, they were ruling in favor of it. And God says, how long were you going to do this? How long was you going to rule in favor of wickedness? How long was you going to allow wickedness to run rampant? In verses 3 and 4, you have a strong command. Look at what the Lord said here. First of all, here's what they're supposed to do. In verse number 3, strong command, they should have been defending the poor. Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. The word poor there means oppressed. Those who were hurting. Those who were being abused. Those, it doesn't just talk about finances and, you know, a welfare system. It's talking about, you know, basically the same type, the illustration I gave earlier. There's laws that says you can't break into my house and take my stuff tonight. And if you do that, I am a victim. I am the oppressed. I am the one who got abused. And the law system should protect the victim. Should protect those whose liberties and freedoms were infringed upon. And what he's saying here in verse number 3 is your job was to defend those who were being abused. Your job was to protect those who were being taken as a victim. Your job was to defend those type of people. And not just to defend them, but in verse number 4, to deliver the poor. Deliver the poor and needy and rid them out of the hand of the wicked. Not just defend them and take up for them, but also to deliver them, to have a compassion for them. God had placed these judges in the position not just to speak out for the poor and the victim, but also to do something about it. The injustices that were taking place, they didn't just have to wave a protest and say, boy, you shouldn't be doing this. They could change things. God gave them authority and God gave them power to fix problems, but they weren't doing it. Then you have in verse number 5, a swift conviction. He passes down the conviction, says, they know not, neither will they understand. They walk on in darkness, all the foundations of the earth are out of course. The reason for this corruption, as the first part of verse number 5, was because they did not have knowledge and they did not have understanding. They didn't have it. They should have. They should have known the law. They should have known the Word of God. They should have known these things. But they didn't take the stand. They didn't take the time to learn it. They didn't take the time to understand why. They may have knew that laws were there, but they didn't really understand them. And so therefore, they didn't practice them. And so the reason for their corruption was because of the lack of knowledge and lack of understanding. And it was their choice. They couldn't raise an excuse. Well, there was no way I could have known. They had it all. But they chose not to. And then the result of their corruption at the end of verse number 5, all the foundations of the earth are out of course. In other words, Israel was running rampant, wicked. Things were not the way they should be because, judges, you weren't doing your job. You weren't taking a stand against evil. Of course, the verse, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And go on and on with that thought, but the idea there is that if they would have done their job, Israel would have still been standing and wouldn't have been facing all those problems. Then it brings us to verse number 6 and 7, a solemn condemnation. A solemn condemnation. You'll never see, by the way, in this chapter, a cross-examination, not a word of defense is given. When we stand before God someday, we'll have no excuses. They didn't have any excuses. God was right in everything He said. First of all, in verse number 6, their high office was exalted. He goes over again what important position He had placed them in. I have said, ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. He basically reaffirms the power that He had invested in them, the opportunity and the potential that they could have had to do what was right to keep Israel out of all those problems. He reminds them that they were left as representatives and instruments of the Word of God. They were as gods. They had a great privilege. Their high office was exalted there in verse number 7, but their hideous offense was exposed. It says there in verse number 7, but you shall die like men and fall like one of the princes. Now, I hope you see what God just said. He looked at them. He's passing down the conviction. He said, you, I placed you in a position and gave you everything you needed to make things right. You were as gods. But then in verse 7, you may have been as gods, but you're going to die like men. They were going to face a capital punishment because the crime they had committed was a capital crime in the eyes of God. They had neglected. They had been given much, but they didn't do anything with it. And therefore, God's judgment was coming. And then verse number 8, Asaph ends it with basically this thought, the second coming, which he seems to always wrap his psalms up in this way. But it says in verse 8, arise, O God, judge the earth, for thou shalt inherit all nations. He kind of gets a glimpse ahead. Israel, and they're going to stand before God. And then he says, I want to be great God when you come and you just rule and reign over everybody and everything. Don't just judge them. You're going to judge it all. And he looks forward to that time. Now, that's the entire chapter. Now let me apply it. And I just real quick. How can we apply that to our life? Number one, we said there's a Supreme Court. We too, someday, are going to stand before a holy God. We're going to give an account. Now, praise God, we don't have to give an account for our sin. Amen? Been forgiven. Sinners and the lost will stand for the great white throne judgment, and they will be cast into hell, rejecting so great a salvation. But we too will stand before God, the judgment seat of Christ. Not to give an account for sins, but to give an account, and there'll be rewards given and lost. Because we will see then what all God wanted to do and we could have done. But we neglected. That's why the Bible says that He'll wipe all tears from our eyes. There will be weeping, I believe. Because we'll see what could have been. Apply it in this way also. It says that they were God's sons of God. Does not the Bible say that if we're saved, we too are the sons of God? Does not the Bible teach that while on this earth, church, we are a representative of this book and what the book says and what thus saith the Lord? We ought to hold a standard with our life and with our words of what God says. That's our position. Everybody follow me? And we're going to stand before God. We are sons of God too. I praise the Lord for that. You know, earlier we say, hey, aren't you glad we're the sons of God? It's great to amen that. But let's not forget, we're also going to stand before that God as His representative, as His sons. What would we do with it? Not only the Supreme Court, but then a serious complaint, remember? He looked at them, at those judges, and His serious complaint was that, how long were you going to do this? How long were you going to just allow darkness to go on? Now just apply it in this way, we as God's people, being God's children, that with the Word of God, I think all of us can agree with this statement, we have been given much. We have the truth. We've got the truth. Did you know you could be in a church tonight that doesn't preach the truth? You could be in a place tonight that doesn't have the right Word of God. You could be in a place tonight that doesn't know what true salvation is. You could be in a place tonight that teaches false doctrine. You could be in a bar tonight, lost and on your way to hell. Do you realize what great privilege we have tonight? We are so blessed, but understand, with that blessing comes a lot of responsibility. We have been given the truth. And I guess the serious complaint to us as God's people today is this: how long are we going to just keep doing wrong? How long? And it's amazing how people sitting in the right churches and good places with the right book, knowing the right doctrine and all these things, but we still want to live some things our way. We still know things are wrong, but we want to do it in our way. We want to live according to our flesh. We know what the Bible says, but not me. I don't want to do it. We'll stand before God someday. Denied it from the Word of God, I just say, how long are we going to do that? How long will we allow bitterness to stay in our hearts? How long will we allow that sin to continue in our life? How long are we going to look at God's Word, know what it says, but choose to do opposite and think that everything's going to be hunky-dory and God won't bother me and I'm just going to get away with it and no problems at all? We are God's representatives. Child of God, we are to represent Him in a very dark world. And I will say this, we all know Chronicles, does it not teach it? Our land is in a mess today, and we understand that. But God said He'll heal our land if God's people get right. When I believe the same applied to this chapter. If the judges would have just done right and ruled and lived in accordance to the laws of God, things would not have had to be the way they were in Israel. If God's people tonight in this great country would fall on their face and just decide to do right, we'd see our country change. There are millions of people sitting in Baptist churches in this country. If just those people would decide, we are just going to do right. Things that the book says it's wrong, I'm just not going to do anymore. I'm going to live right. We'd see a great revival. We are God's representative. And God looks at His people. I believe He looks at churches tonight and says, how long? I think He looks at families tonight and say, how long are you going to continue doing that? How long are you going to continue that? Serious complaint, a strong command. What did He say to those judges? Your job was to defend the poor and to deliver the poor. Those who were oppressed, those who were in darkness, those who were victims, your job was given by Me to defend them and to save them. How does that apply to us? I think it's pretty obvious. There's people lost and dying out in this world today, and it's our job to take them the truth. It is our job to deliver the oppressed. The world's beaten, the devil's beaten people up. He's abusing them, he's ruining their life, he's leading them in deceit and deception and destruction, and he's leading them all down that path. It's a broad way, and there's a lot of people going, and we have the truth. You better believe that God looks down upon us tonight and says, it's your job, Travis Burke. It's your job, Travis Burke, to go and snatch them like fire brands out of the fire, to go tell them the truth, but go tell them about the Lord. Tell them about salvation. Tell them that their home doesn't have to be destroyed. Tell them that God can put the pieces back together, that God can break the chains of addiction, that God can do amazing things and can put people and change lives. God can do that. Can He not do that? And there are millions of people out there that are trapped in that stuff. And God says, Christian, sons of God, your job is to defend them and deliver them. Take it to them. Apply it in this way. There was a swift conviction. You look down at those judges. What was the reason that the judges weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing? The reason they didn't do it is because they had a lack of knowledge and a lack of understanding. That's why we're doing what we're doing this year in 2010. Because I believe if we as God's people can get some knowledge and some understanding, which is what this theme for our year is all about, that we'll realize and be more effective in helping the poor, the oppressed of the world. If we had a knowledge and understanding of why we're here and how to help them, I think we'd be more apt to helping. I think sometimes we sit back and see people's lives being broken and dear friends of ours going through rough times, but we just don't know how to help them when the answers are in this book. Amen? The answers are in this book. But many times we're afraid to speak out and to try to help those who are hurting that are around us because we just don't have the answers. Get in the book. Those judges did not have an excuse. God said, you had a lack of knowledge and a lack of understanding. They didn't say, yes, you're right. That's why we didn't do it, so excuse us. They knew they had no excuse because the law was right there. They had no excuse. They should have had understanding. They should have had knowledge. We have no excuse not helping people tonight. If you've been saved any amount of time, you ought to be getting knowledge. That's why we have these discipleship classes going on, because not so we can go around saying, hey, we had this many people in discipleship. The reason we have these things is so that we as individual saints of God can go help people. Point them to this book. Defend and to deliver the oppressed of the world. God said, you haven't done it because of a lack of knowledge. And because of that, what did God say? The result was the foundation, the world's in chaos. I go back. If my people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, God said I'd heal their land. If we would do right, we'd see things change. Then there was a solemn condemnation. He said, he looked at those judges. Remember back in verse 6, I gave you a great position. I gave you everything you needed. But now there's judgment. God has given to us everything we need to reach this world. We've got His Holy Spirit. He indwells us. If you're saved, He indwells you. We've got the Word. We've got prayer. We've got His presence. We've got it all. We can make a difference. Do you hear me tonight? We can make a difference. I would love to go one by one tonight and just look at you and say, Mark Hall, you can make a difference to those people you work with. Trish Simpson's going to meet people this week, Trish, that you can help. Ricky, you're going to see people walking downtown that need some help. Brother Haddocks travels all across the country, and there's people you're going to meet that need help. It's right here. I'm going to meet people this week. I'm going to walk in places and businesses and stores, and I'm going to see people. And sometimes we can't see it on the outside, but they are hurting on the inside. There are people we are going to pass this week who thoughts of even taking their own life is running through their head because they're done. We've got the answers. We've got it right here. You say, well, I don't have the answers. I know I'm afraid to say something because I don't think I can answer their questions. Then get involved in a program where you're going to learn. Come over to one of these houses. Learn this book. Study it. It's in here. None of us are going to be able to stand before God and be able to say, well, I just didn't understand. I didn't have knowledge sitting in this church for any amount of time or a church like it all across the country. We're not going to have excuses. We've got His Word. We've got His promises. We've got His presence. We have all those things. We need just to do it. And then, of course, the second coming and the fact that He's going to return. And that's going to be a great day. But maybe just remember, this psalm's all about those judges, what they could have done and should have done. They had been given much. And to whom much is given, much is required. And all of us tonight, sitting here in these pews, right here, starting right here, working our way down, Chad and Stephanie, Larry and Ruth, Brother Miss Long, Davis's, Blanton's, Miss Jones, Hoddle's, Chris, Slee's, Daniels. We have authority. Not in us, this word. We've got answers. We can help people. God expects us to help people. We're left for that purpose, to help people. Those friends of yours that have questions that are hurting right now, we can give them answers. We can find it in this book. People that are dying and on their way to hell who God has made an appointment for us to talk to tomorrow. We might only see it tomorrow at first as a, how you doing, in an elevator or something like that. We can reach people. We're not in a church that we're blessed, folks. We have the truth. We're in a place that preaches the truth. We're in a place that shows and believes in the truth, stands for the truth. The truth is preached from this pulpit week after week after week. We're blessed. There's a lot of people sitting in buildings that are think that they're getting a lot of lies and deception. Maybe not on purpose, but they're getting a lot of false teaching. We've got the right teaching because it comes from this book. But with that great privilege comes some great responsibility. To whom much is given, much is required. Hey, it'd be great tonight. We pray tonight in an invitation to say, God, use me. Teach me what I need to know. Use me to reach them. To understand the great responsibility we have. Those judges could have made a difference, but they threw it away. They like the fun. They like the money. They like the positions. They like the titles. And I'm sure while on this earth, everything was fine for them. There came a day they stood before God. And God said, how long? If I would have left you on that earth, how long would you have done it? Father, Lord, I pray you take this invitation.